السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama Ikram, most respected brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa. A few years ago, in many places I discussed some poetry of Hazrat Khaja Azizul Hasan Majzub Rahmatullah Alayh, which was very relevant because of the changing situation in our country. Our country had undergone a change. Elections had taken place in 94, and there was the introduction of so-called democracy in our country. With the so-called democracy, the fitnas that came, it affected a large section of the Muslim Ummah. No doubt the apartheid regime, there was injustice, there was great amount of tyranny, the rights of people, human rights were being suppressed, and there was a need for a change. But unfortunately, the change that came, it brought a lot of fitnas for the Muslim Ummah. As far as human rights are concerned, Islam itself talks about human rights, and not only talks about it, Islam emphasizes it and makes it compulsory, wajib, obligatory to fulfill the rights of others, whether the person is white or black, whether he is rich or poor, whatever may be his status. But Islam emphasizes many places in the Quran Sharif and in the Ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we will find mention of it, about the fulfillment of the rights of the individual, of the neighbors, of the family members, of the society at large. So that was something that was essential. And because there was zulm and tyranny and oppression during the apartheid regime, so it was bound to come to an end. There was going to be a revolution. There was going to be a takeover. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's system is such that when people do injustice, when they oppress, when they tyrannize, then a day comes when either those who were tyrannizing and oppressing will end up in prisons, or they will be executed, or their government will be overthrown and will be taken over by those who were oppressed. Throughout history we will find this. So that is something that we all supported, that there must be an end to discrimination on the basis of color, on the basis of so many other things. That must come to an end. However, when it comes to the fitnas that came with the change, then we were not able to resist those fitnas. We had not prepared ourselves. There was going to be an opening up of all the cinemas and theaters and discos and nightclubs, and everything was going to be flooding this country. Porn literature, porn magazines, porn movies, filthy shows. Now all these things were going to flood our country, because that is what comes with the so-called democracy. That so-called democracy brings all this type of filth with it. Go to all the countries of the world where they say they've got democracy, then that is what it means. England, America, Europe, they are the leaders in this so-called democracy. So there you will find plenty of all this filth. So when South Africa, the change came, so that change which brought a freedom to indulge in all kinds of vices and sins and evil pleasures, unfortunately we thought that that freedom was for us too. That all along there was a restriction that you cannot go to this bar and you cannot go to that cinema and you cannot go to that theater and you cannot import or have any kind of filthy magazine or any kind of filthy photograph with you. Obscene literature was forbidden. Now all those kind of things, so we thought that that was like a restriction. It was a restriction that was being placed on our freedom. So now that freedom was now removed. I mean that restriction was removed and it brought freedom now. So those who disbelieved in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, they celebrated. Because they found that if they had indulged in those prohibited things during the regime, during the apartheid times, they would have ended in prisons. They would have had to pay fines. Or they would have been punished in some other way. So now they don't have to worry. There is no concern. There is no fear. Now they can openly indulge in it because there is no government restriction. But we forgot that our government is not the government of our time. Our government is the government of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We are under His government first. We obey the laws of the country to the extent that it does not violate the laws of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And where we just cannot, because of our weakness, our helplessness, we just can't seem to bring about any change, then we try to stay away as far as possible from those things. But if the person is just forced by circumstances, then we will say that he will make plenty of istighfar and tawbah. But so many other things where there is no insistence, or there is no such thing as government legislation that a Muslim has to indulge in those things. Repeatedly I have mentioned that one is the government legislation. We can go on shouting about government legislation on abortion and on homosexuality and on freedom to indulge in all the other kinds of vices and sins that are being propagated by the media day and night. The government legislation allows for all that. But no government legislation has forced that person who believes in Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Day of Judgment that he has to indulge in those sins and vices too. Which government legislation forces him? There is no government legislation that's forcing him. So that is our nafs. Because we did not make islah of this nafs, so our nafs also got very happy, extremely happy that now all those prohibitions are removed. Now we can go headlong. And there's nobody to tell us anything. Because it's only those people who may be in some good family environment or some good masjid environment or some good society environment, or the person is in Dawat, Tabligh or Khanqahs or Masajid, Madaris, Darul Uloom, or he's got a good family background, then those people will, it will restrain them to some extent. However, amongst us also who have got ta'alluq with the Masajid, Madaris, and all dini activities, unfortunately we too, when we read these type of programs and these type of features and these type of shows and these type of places where these filthy things are taking place, then deep down in our hearts there seems to be a longing that we wish this restriction was not there. I deal with society, I deal with people, I reply to letters, I'm dealing with cases. So there seems to be that deep down desire that I wish I could also do that. I wish I could also be there. But what is holding the person back? Either his beard is holding him back, his kurta is holding him back, or his masjid environment is holding him back, or that dini circle in which he is known to be active is holding him back. So at least there is some kind of haya that... So you chose again how important haya and shame is, for whatever reason that shame. But the thing is that shame held the person back. That shame that I've been discussing in the Jummah Bayan's haya. You can see here again it was that same shame and haya. For whatever reason, that the people will think bad of him. What will they think of him? They will start degrading him. They will look down upon him. Whatever reason, but at least it kept the person away from those cinemas, theaters, discos, rave clubs and all the other haram. But for those who did not have that kind of circle of friends, or they were not involved in dini programs and activities, and they did not make those who did not make any kind of islah, they did not listen repeatedly to khawf of qiyamah, khawf of akhirat, khawf of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, khawf of the azab of jahannam, those who did not listen repeatedly to those things, then for them it means absolutely nothing to go and visit those places, to frequent those areas. And not only that, but thereafter to advertise it. And that is something that is of great concern, that to advertise it. The person feels proud and happy. Being a Muslim, the person feels nothing to advertise his sins. In fact, we brag about those sins. If somebody had been having an affair with some woman for some years, and then marriage took place, they feel quite proud and happy to announce and to advertise and to propagate to the world and to report to the journalists and to the newspapers that we met at the university some years ago, and then for 5 years, 6 years we have had a relationship, and then we decided now to marry, or something like that. In other words, the person is quite happy, he's quite comfortable. Or the person won in some casino, so he poses for the photograph, and thereafter his picture is taken and his whole story is given. What a battler he was. And how much he had to rattle. But after all that battling and rattling, then he struck the jackpot. How many times this has appeared in newspapers? Beautiful Muslim name. The person has won a jackpot, so many millions, and how fortunate a person he is that he won so much. Don't we? How fortunate he is. And he himself says, how fortunate and lucky I was to have had that particular number. I was just going past and I just had a kind of an intuition, as something came across my mind, that go into this lotto selling shop and purchase a ticket. And then it struck. So we can see that that person hasn't had the opportunity of listening repeatedly to the Quran and the Sunnah, or to the waaz and nasihats, without exaggeration, in the masjid. I'm telling you that there are so many people that I would never even have thought that this person could have also been a gambler. But so many of them have told me, some heard it over Channel Islam, some must have heard it over some other radio station, and some heard it in my bayans here. They say that one example of yours, it hit deep into our hearts. Thousands of times they must have gambled, or thousands of rands they must have lost, and now and again they must have won. Because when the gambler wins, then he puts his winnings to win more. And then he loses all. They say that example, and I've repeated that example too many times, because we don't know when it affects and who it affects and who might be a new person that may be listening. Now, I had not planned this, but it's just coming again. So it costs nothing to listen to it again. For those who have heard it, it will strengthen your imans, inshallah, and make you firm. Amen. Because you may not be gambling. We may not be gambling. We don't go to the casinos. We don't go to the Tattersalls, and we don't go to all this racing handicaps. But we may be also trying to get some kind of haram earnings and be quite happy that we are earning plentiful of haram. It's coming through haram sources, but it makes us happy that we are getting rich. So I said, when the person wins a jackpot, 20 million, 30 million, irrespective of how many millions, even if he is told he won 1 billion, then immediately he must think that I am a Muslim. And if somebody has to tell me that you have won 1 billion pigs, or 10 million pigs, or 20 million pigs, so now prepare, have a nice, big, massive farm. We are going to be delivering, and the photographers are going to be there. And you will have to pose with all these pigs. And then we are going to announce in the newspapers, over the radio stations, so and so, Ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He won so many million pigs. Would you be happy? See, that person will spit on the face of the person announcing. He said, either you change my pigs to cash. Now the pigs he won't take. But if they change the same thing to cash, then he will take it. So what is the difference? What is the difference? As far as haram is concerned, there's no difference. That gambling money that he would won and those pigs are equally haram. So what is the difference? So if the person really thinks for a little while, and then what is it going to bring? Is it going to bring any kind of barakat? When Allah Ta'ala is displeased, will it ever bring barakat? Will it ever bring happiness? It's going to take away even the good wealth. And immediately it's going to take away the sukoon of the person, the barakat and the rahmat. There will be fights, quarrels, arguments, and in the family and in the children, the person will go through hell and disaster. So many people gave it up and they said, Alhamdulillah, you know, we gave up this habit and we wish, one young person tells me, I wish I had heard this 10 years ago. He says, for 10 years I have been just visiting the casinos. So if they did not have the opportunity to listen, they were not in those type of gatherings, then it means nothing to go and visit all those places. So at present, this is our biggest problem, that how do we restrain ourselves from these areas? Because the nafs wants enjoyment, and we are seeing others enjoying, in inverted commas. It seems as if they are enjoying. But wallah, you ask any person who has gone through the rave clubs and discos and drugs and all that, when a little bit of realization comes into him, what does he say? I wasted my health, wasted my wealth, destroyed my respect, nobody trusts me anymore, I'm down the gutters, I wish I had not gone onto that line. So if there was enjoyment, then why regret? After enjoyment, if there is regret, then is that enjoyment? If the person enjoys for a little while and then he ends up in the prison for many, many years, then is that enjoyment? If the person enjoys for a little while the wealth that he stole and then he ends up in prison for life because he had to murder somebody to steal that wealth, then will we call that enjoyment? Yamana maasiyat me mujrimana thodi lazzat hai. Ye mana maasiyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat hai, magar us palne wale se ye kaisi bakhawat hai. Zara si der ki lazzat hamesha ki nadamat hai. Zara si der ki lazzat hamesha ki nadamat hai. Janaza aabru ka dafn karna ye kaisi himaqat hai. This must be the 120th time that you are listening to this. Ye mana maasiyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat hai. But it is sufficient for our islah, that one share, that little while of pleasure. But before that he says that I agree, I accept, I acknowledge that there is a little bit of stolen pleasure. The little bit of pleasure, but it is stolen pleasure. Something that a person steals and enjoys for a little while. So in sins there is a little bit of pleasure, but that is like how that person steals and enjoys that pleasure for a little while. Mujrimana thodi lazzat hai, magar us palne wale se ye kaisi bagawat hai. Ha, that Allah who has blessed us with that sight, and with that hearing, and with that speech, and with that wealth, and with our heart, liver and lungs all functioning, if the Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala orders that the bladders must fail to function, or the kidneys must fail, and the person is on the dialysis machine all the time, then ask him that, now do you enjoy zina? Or do you enjoy this? Or do you want shifa? So deep down in our hearts, or deep down in every person's heart, there is acknowledgement that he is not in control over his life, or his limbs, or his anything that he owns. It totally belongs to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It is a gift, it is an ata' of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So it does not befit a person, it does not behove, it is not right that the person should use those very bounties of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for his disobedience. So this is the difficulty. So you say, janaza abru ka dafna karna, to bury the janaza of your respect and honor, what kind of stupidity is that? For that little while of respect, the person looks like a pious person, and then if he's suddenly seen in the casino, or is seen in adultery, or in some other haram place, that little while of pleasure, but his respect is gone. So Hazrat Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, that is what I was going to discuss and where we went. But this was relevant. At that time I went around reading this poetry because it was very, very relevant. So I decided to again read a few couplets from there. In this cold weather, your coming shows that you've got great love for Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the niyat is of Islah. So this is a majlis of Islah. I make the niyat of my own Islah when I read this and when I speak to you. And you make the niyat of your Islah, then all of us will benefit. But if our attendance is merely just for the pleasure and for entertainment pleasure, as they say, we bring to you for your entertainment pleasure. So if that is our niyat, this entertainment pleasure, so then that is all we will get from it, entertainment and pleasure. Although even then, if these things go through our ears, then someday inshallah the person gets tawfiq of amal.
तुम्हारे घर में चोरों ने लगाई है नकब जागो, तुम्हारे घर में चोरों ने लगाई है नकब जागो, तुम्हारा ये लिए जाते हैं माल असबाब सब जागो, तुम्हारा ये लिए जाते हैं माल असबाब सब जागो, पड़े हो अब भी गाफिल कर रहे हो क्या गजब जागो, पड़े हो अब भी गाफिल कर रहे हो क्या गजब जागो, बहुत सोए बस अब जागो बस अब जागो, बहुत सोए बस अब जागो तुम्हारे घर में चोरों ने लगाई है नकब जागो, तुम्हारा ये लिए जाते हैं माल असबाब सब जागो.
The thieves, the chores, the dakus, your enemies, they have entered your homes. And they didn't enter silently. They didn't enter through the back door silently. They made a big noise. They drilled a big hole in your wall and made an entry. I'm just giving you an explanation. That picture, a person has got a house, there's plenty of goods in there, He's got gold, silver, plenty of jewelry, plenty of cash, plenty of wealth, lots of items, very expensive, very precious, very valuable, priceless. And now that thieves, Allah Ta'ala must protect every one of us, now the thieves have come, and what they are doing, they are drilling a big hole to enter into the house. Instead of dropping the door, or breaking the gate, or some other way of entry, they are making an extremely loud noise and coming into the house. Imagine that the person is in that house and is fast asleep. So he says that tumhare ghar mein choron ne lagayi hai naqab, jago. They have come into your homes. Now get up. They are taking away your wealth. Maal, asbab, sab, everything. They are emptying your home of all your furniture and your gold and silver and your cash and your credit cards and everything that you have got that is expensive and valuable and precious. They are emptying the house. They are taking it out through that big hole that they made in the wall. Now they are taking it out. Tumhara ye liye jate hai maal asbab sab, jago. Pade ho ab bhi ghafil kar rahe ho kya ghazab, jago. In spite of this big noise that they made and entered into your home and emptied your home, you are still sleeping indifferent. People are telling you also, they are stealing from your house. You say, yeah, let them steal what they want. Let them take it. Bahut soye, bas ab jago, bas ab jago. Far too long, O Muslim, you have slept. Or far too long, this person, he says, you have slept. They have emptied your house. Now get up, now get up. Now what does it mean? He says that picture Islam as a house. We must picture Islam as a house. Now that house of Islam, there is the culture of Islam. Teachings of Rasul-e Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sunnats of Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam, Ahkam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Then there's Namaz, there's Roza, there's Zakat, there's Hajj, there's Ibadat, then there's Mu'amlat, our dealings, our Mu'asharat, our etiquettes, our morals, our behavior. Our character, everything is in that home, that beautiful home of Islam. These enemies of Islam have penetrated your homes and they made a loud noise and came into your homes. They didn't come in silently also. Through the television, the newspapers, the magazines, and all other kinds of filthy programs, they have entered your homes, they have come right in there with a big din and a big noise, and they are stealing your culture. They have stolen your ibadat. The person hasn't got time for ibadat now. There was a time when the people used to get up in the morning, first thing they used to read Yasin Sharif and they used to read the Quran Sharif. In one of the villages that we used to go and visit during our holidays while studying in India, then outside, after Fajr, everyone's house, because most of the people used to sleep outside there in summer, everyone you'll find sitting on the bed and reading the Quran Sharif. And that whole area used to be like humming with the Quran Sharif. Quran Sharif ke tilawat ki goonj saare charo taraf se suni ja rahi thi. Sab masroof. Children are reading, adults are reading, parents are reading. Husbands are reading, wives are reading, everybody starting the day with Quran Sharif. Then I visited again after a couple years when television and radio and everything became common in those villages also. Then we found everything has subsided. Few people may be reading here and there. Why? Because we have to know what is happening in the world. So we have to start our day with CNN, with BBC, with SABC and with all other kinds of stations that we listen to. Our days are now beginning by listening to all those things. They've penetrated, they've come into our homes, they've taken away our Quran Sharif, they've They've taken away our ibadat, our mu'amlat, which were the mu'amlat that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had taught us. Our mu'asharat, which was that of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and the sahaba ikram radiallahu anhu ajmain. But in the homes, that mu'asharat has been taken away. Our weddings, our walimas, everything has been changed now, because we have been watching so much of birthday parties and engagement parties and this party and that party and bridal showers and what, I don't know what kind of things have been promoted and propagated through this media. And then again all the kind of attacks and bombarding that is taking place on our aqaid. It begins from our aqaid. You can see that even that is being bombarded through the radio, through the television and everything. So we had no strong, firm, solid base of iman. We just had some kind of smattering of knowledge here and there, a little bit of Allah Ta'ala's existence and something about akhirat, but no in-depth knowledge. And our amal also was not according to that. So they bombarded. So these thieves have entered the homes and they have taken, they have stolen everything from us. It has become so difficult to even recognize a Muslim today. And especially in the homes, there are so many homes where there is no tilawat of the Quran Sharif for the whole year. And sometimes not even in Ramadan. Many, many places there are. Go around the world. Don't look at just a few sample around us. Go around the world and see. So many of them don't even have an idea that Ramadan Sharif has come and Ramadan has gone. So, tumhare ghar mein choro ne lagai hai naqab, jago, get up. Tumhara ye liye jate hai maal asbab sab, jago. Oh Muslim, get up, get up. Pade ho ab bhi ghafil, kar rahe ho kya ghazab, jago. In spite of hearing and listening and knowing what is happening around, we still say no. We must be broad-minded. Must not be too narrow-minded. Never ever believe any person if he has to tell you that there is no enjoyment in obeying Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because this is the impression we get, that if we are going to remove ourselves and distance ourselves from all these type of haram, then what's left in life? This is what we get. The impression, what's left in life? What are we going to do then if these things are taken away from us? What else is going to be our pleasure, source of pleasure? So all these 1400 years was the television, were these movies there, were the cinemas there, and all these haram things on the internet that we watch, and those magazines. So all those Muslims of the past, they had absolutely no enjoyment, no happiness, no pleasures in their lives. Would we believe that? They all were very sulky and gloomy in all their whole lives. There was so much of happiness in their lives. Ask those people who just saw some 50 years ago, 30 years ago, how much of happiness there was in the homes. There was sukoon, there was no fear. We didn't require burglar guards, we didn't require security gates. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had given such kind of happiness. They in those homes, that is what used to happen. Our parents, the first thing they used to insist, before you leave the home, read your Quran Sharif. Did you read your namaz? And where did you go this morning? Where did you come from? Where have you been? Why so late at night? Which friends did you go out with? Now they used to control all that. They used to discipline us. And as a result, there was so much of happiness, so much of peace, and so much of adab and respect and sukoon. So they say, Pad rahe ho, kar rahe ho kya ghazab? Pade ho ab bhi ghafil, kar rahe ho kya ghazab? Jago. Bohot soye, bas ab jago, bas ab jago. Far too long have you slept. Bahut soye. How long are we still going to sleep? Have we been created just to sleep and be negligent and be indifferent to what is happening around us? The masjid, I have repeatedly said that these programs or coming to the masjid or attending such kind of Islahi programs and all the rest of it, it is just to repair the damage that has been done or to put this vehicle of ours right. It is for the sake of disciplining. But the test of our taqwa is not going to be in the masjid. Because in the masjid at this moment, nobody is committing zina, nobody is committing any fraud, nobody is committing any kind of sin or any kind of vice. He's not indulging in, because he's in the masjid environment. But the moment we step out, or the moment we take a drive down one of the streets of town, or when we have to go to our businesses, or the airports, or fly in the aeroplane, or go to any other function, then that is where our iman is tested, our taqwa is tested. So far too long we have been asleep. He says, now get up. Musalmano bahre amal tayyar ho jao. Get ready now for action. So this is the message. Inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala wills, we will continue. But if we take this much lesson for tonight, that all these temptations around us, they are zulumat. They are darknesses. And if we are going to indulge in those sins, then the darkness will penetrate our hearts. It will take away the light and the noor of that heart. Then the person will not enjoy his ibadat, his zikr, his tilawat, nothing. There will be no enjoyment after him. In the darkness, the person will not get any kind of satisfaction. He will have to remove that darkness again with istighfar, with tawbah, with rujoo ila Allah. And that is what he means by get up. The turn towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And put those homes right. If those things have come into our homes and into our lives, then get up and remove it, because it is going to destroy us. We are seeing how it has destroyed the lives of so many people around us. So are we going to wait until it destroys us? The intelligent person is the one who takes lessons from whatever is happening around him. So it is easy to talk about bringing about changes around the world, and especially sometimes when we hear people talking that that government, we must just overthrow that government. That person, Bush, we must put him away with one bullet. And that King Fahad, this is what we must do to him. And that person, this is what we must do. Now we sit here and we talk as if all those things are going to happen. We got absolutely no strength, no power, nothing. We can't put anything right here. And we are going to put right all those countries of the world. This is what they should do. This is what they should do. This is what they should do. But what should we do? Indeed, we must worry about whatever is happening around the world. But what should we do? Isn't there something that we too have to do? Or is it that everything somebody else has to do? So this is that shaitani trap, that it wants to take us away from our islah. Islah of the nafs, we just don't want to hear about, because it is something that brings pain on our hearts. So why take the pain on our heart? Put it on somebody else's heart. Why must we take it on our? Hum ye takleef kyun bardasht kare? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must give us realization. Time is moving. Everything is moving very, very fast. The pace is very rapid. The fitnas are coming so fast that we can't imagine. good people are getting caught in fitnas. So where can we be so satisfied with our taqwa? I will conclude again on that one example which Hazrat Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah has given, and you have heard many times too, but it has come now to mind. So I will say it and then conclude. Of that person who found a huge snake, because there had been snowfall or extremely cold weather, as is now in the Transvaal and other places. So this huge snake appeared as if it was lifeless. Why? Because of that freezing temperature. But it was not dead. So this person caught hold of the snake, and he said that this is a nice thing to go and have some show here and there, that I am a snake charmer and catcher, and see what a huge snake I caught. So he carried the snake on his shoulders, and he went to a village and gathered the people around and started bragging about his great capabilities and his great ability to catch huge snakes and subdue them and see how he killed the snake. So they all gathered and they congratulated him on his great feat. But after a little while, it's an example he gives, he says, after a little while, the sun rose, and the warmth and the heat of the sun warmed the body of the snake. And when that heat and that warmth touched the skin of the snake, slowly that snake began to get active again. And it sprang back to life. The first person to run was that person who claimed that he was the snake catcher. As soon as he saw movement in that snake, he got the fright of his life. So all those who came to see the show, they also disappeared. And he too disappeared. So from this he says that the lesson we take is that this nafs of ours, no matter how much mujahada you make, it can become a little bit subdued, a little bit it appears as if it is lifeless. But just give it the heat of sins, let it have the touch of the warmth of sins a little, and see how this nafs springs back to life. It will spring back to life. All those bad habits that the person had given up all his life, again he will start going and indulging in the same thing. How many have gone far away from rave clubs, they ended back in the rave club. So many left drugs, after that they went back to drugs. So many left zina, after that they went back to zina. Why? They allowed that nafs to get the enjoyment of sins again for a little while. So don't be too satisfied. Let us not be too satisfied that our nafs is now suppressed and it's dead. We don't know when it springs back. And then it bites and stings. Even if our nafs becomes an angel, is par bharosa kabhi mat karna. If farishta bhi ho jaye, to is par bharosa mat karna. Then see how Allah Ta'ala gives sukoon in that heart. How much of peace, how much of noor, how much of tranquility. When Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's tajalliyat will come into the heart, then Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayhi says that when the fragrance of my Allah's love comes into my heart, then the vocabulary does not have words. My vocabulary fails. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا غياث المستغيثين Ya Rahim al-Masakeen, Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum, bi rahmatika nastaghis. Oh my beloved Allah, oh my Rahim Allah, oh my Kareem Allah, oh my most beautiful Allah, oh my most compassionate, loving, caring Allah, oh my most forgiving Allah, change the condition of our hearts. Oh my beloved Allah, we have become the slaves of nafs and shaitan. Oh my beloved Allah, untie us from the chains that have tied us. The only chain that must tie us very, very firmly, O Allah, is the chain of your love, your muhabbat, and the muhabbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, take us out from the slavery of everything else in this world. Make us your slaves and the slaves of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya Allah, bless us with the ittiba and the love of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya Allah, forgive our major sins, minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly in the light of day or darkness of nights. Forgive the sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, of our hands and feet, of our heart and mind. Forgive us, our parents, wives and children, brothers and sisters, family members, and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh Allah, the enemies, nafs and shaitan, have entered our lives. Oh my beloved Allah, the enemies of Islam have entered our lives. They have entered our homes, oh my beloved Allah. Oh my beloved Allah, they made a big din and a big noise, and they entered our homes and our lives. Ya Allah, protect us from the attacks of nafs and shaitan. Protect us from the enemies of Islam. Ya Allah, give hidayat to the enemies of Islam. Open their eyes to the beautiful teachings of Islam. Bless them with hidayat and guidance. Bless them with iman and Islam. But if they have become obstinate and they have made up their minds that they will never ever accept Islam, and they will continue the persecution and the torture and the oppression and tyranny upon the Muslim Ummah, then, O my beloved Allah, use your Qudrat and destroy them like you destroyed the Aad and Samud. You are all powerful, you are almighty. O my beloved Allah, no weakness has come in you. We as Muslims have become extremely weak. But O Allah, don't look at our weakness. Ya Allah, don't look at our sins. Don't look at our shortcomings and evils. Ya Allah, look at Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam's blood that was shed for the sake of this ummah. Look at the tears that Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam shed for the sake of this ummah. And with the barakat of those tears and the blood of Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam, assist and help the Muslim ummah. Remove the difficulties, the hardships, the problems, especially in Palestine, Chechnya, Bosnia, Kashmir, Afghanistan, Iraq. Allah, unite the hearts of husbands and wives, parents and children, brothers and sisters, and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. Bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. Allah, don't let the angel of death find us in a disco, cinema, theater, adultery, fornication, gambling den, or any kind of haram activity. Ya Allah, distance us from haram. Put the love of good deeds into our hearts. Ya Allah, when the time of our departure comes, take us to Madinah Tayyibah, at the Rosa Mubarak of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With the salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulallah on our lips, let our soul come dancing towards you. Oh Allah, let it be the best day of our lives. Bless us with burial in Jannatul Baqi. But if it is not muqaddar there, wherever it may be, let it be in a state that you are pleased with us. Bless us all with long life, good health, prosperity, happiness, contentment, satisfaction, barakat in our homes, in our lives, and every ni'mat and bounty of yours. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاز منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.